Fighters, today I'm hanging out with my buddy Dominic Rubino. We're going to dig into strategy and how to be a more strategic contractor as you go into 2024. I love a couple questions that Dom drops that you should be asking yourself if you want to have more success in figuring out what your plan needs to be, how to figure out the action steps to get there and see things through to get the success you want. Don't forget to give us a damn rating and a review and share the show. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Dominic Rubino. Mr. Dominic Rubino. That's such a cool name, by
Thank
the way.
You. Yeah.
Did they call you like growing up, Dommy?
Yeah.
Is that like
Dom,
thing?
Dommy.
Dom, Dommy. What do your best friends call you? Dominic, Dommy, or Dom?
Dom.
Or?
They call Dom? Me Dom.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, when they're trying to be funny, they call me the D, big D.
But, the big you know. D. Yeah.
Yeah.
You take that any way you want. So.
That's right.
Well, dude, it's good to finally make this happen.
I know.
We had this scheduled, had technical issues, and now we made it happen a few weeks later. All is well in the universe, I think. And I know we've had an eye on each other for a few years.
Yeah.
And finally just made this happen. And I have to tell you, man, it's cool when we've never met in person. We've had, including me being on your show, the last time we tried to do this and the first time we talked, this is probably our fourth or fifth time having a conversation. And what's funny is in some ways, I feel like we could finish each other's sentences. So it's kind of funny. It's very rare when that happens. So I enjoy shooting the breeze with you, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
So for those that don't know, who are you? What do you do?
I sometimes ask the same question. I wake up in the morning with that. Well, but to be serious, and I like to joke a little too much. So I host a podcast as well. And the reason I do that, though, is I love working in construction and contracting. I'm a business coach. Mm-hmm. And I show people how to take their contracting business and make it what they want it to be, whether they want more time or more money, better systems, just get the stress out of their lives. And I've had my head kicked in a bunch of times to get here. I'm not a, I think a lot like you, and this is maybe what you were talking about. I've had my head kicked in a lot.
Yeah.
I had to go learn it. I didn't just read a book and thought, I'm going to be a business coach now. I wonder if the kid at Staples will let me print business cards.
Yeah. You know, I've been doing this for a while. How long have you been doing that, coach?
It's going to be 24 years
okay,
in a month.
So longer than me. I think I'm going on 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
Right in there. About 14, I think. Just in the last 5 years, doesn't it seem like there's now 40,000 business coaches?
Oh, everywhere.
Like, it's just crazy, right? Like, it is what it is. It's no different than, you know, you open a hot dog stand, you're making money selling hot dogs.
Somebody opens a hot dog stand.
Another hot dog stand. So, whatever. But so, where do you live?
I live up in Canada, in Vancouver, Canada. So, just I'm so close to Seattle with a bad attitude and a good arm, I could hit the stadium. I'm like, it's close. But, you know, that being said, my last two companies, which spans over the last 20 some odd years, have all been American companies. Just so happens that I live up here.
And what were those?
So here's the entrepreneur side, Tom. There is no handrails in my life. If this is going to be a long, complex story, I'll shorten it down. The first company that I had that was of any significance, I started selling used junk on eBay. Mm-hmm. That was going so well, I turned it into a used online bookstore. That was going so well, I turned it into a mail order pharmacy. And so by the time I sold that, sales had gotten to 120 million a year. And then I sold that. It was a family business. Have you ever dealt with family business partnerships?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are easy.
Yeah. Piece of cake, man. Piece of cake.
No drama, no stress, no weirdness, no awkwardness. But we did really well in that business. And obviously when I sold, these were good days, dancing through the streets. Then I ended up becoming partners with Brian Tracy, who's an author in the world of business. Yeah, very similar to what we do now, but he's back in the 70s and 80s.
OG.
Yep. OG, very OG. He had started a franchise, a business coaching franchise. This is where it starts to sound like ostrich farming. Do you know the business model for ostrich farming?
I don't, but it's just funny because I've never heard that. So fill me in, man.
So the only people that buy ostriches are people that want to start an ostrich farm. And when you start an ostrich farm, your biggest buyers are guys that want to start another ostrich farm. That's ostrich farming.
I love it. So, well, that's funny because, as you know, like, people that sell, and this is not everybody, because there's some that do it. Okay. There's some that do it. I want to be very clear on this. And I've actually worked with them, but like, one of the easiest markets to make sales in the coaching world is sell how to coach to other people that want to be coaches. Isn't it crazy? Like, it's nuts.
So,
So
you didn't let me finish my story because I'm about to jump right into that.
I'm sorry.
So this is the ostrich farming though. Yeah. But, and I do have to say, this was it's a fantastic organization. Mm-hmm. So I became business partners with Brian Tracy. He had 6 franchisees. And it took me a couple of years, but I built that up to 237 franchisees all around the world. We had coaches, obviously, throughout the States, Canada, Brazil, Europe. I don't speak any Brazilian Portuguese, but we had coaches down there. Solid crew down in Brazil. Yeah. Solid crew. So I sold how to run a business coaching business to typically to executives who had left corporate and wanted to start their own thing. Anyways, once I sold that company, I didn't want to travel anymore. I've been a road warrior for... You know you're a road warrior when two things happen. Number one, the valet at the hotel invites you to his birthday party at his house. That's clue number one. That's when it's flickering in your ear. And item number two is when you are a regular in Terminal 2 in the Phoenix airport at the, what was it called? TGIF. I was a regular in that airport.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say when the TSA people all give you birthday cards.
I didn't get to that level. So I started the podcast because I mean, I'm a good public speaker. I could speak at trade shows and conventions anywhere, but I don't want to travel anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. And so your show, talk to us about your show a little. What's the name of the show?
Well, I've got two shows.
Okay.
Because why have one, right? So I've got a bunch of different properties.
You're an entrepreneur.
Well.
Yeah. We got something that's going to be coming out here to the world here pretty soon that I haven't opened the
Are we busting it open today?
Not now. No.
But what is it, Tom? I need to know.
It's coming, man.
Okay.
It's an ostrich farm. So.
Yeah. So the two podcasts I have, one of them's called Profit Tool Belt. That's the hat I'm wearing right now. Mm-hmm. And that's for subtrades, subcontractors. Doesn't matter if it's residential or commercial, civil, institutional.
Yeah.
The other show is very specific, but it has a very passionate audience and it's called, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Cabinet Maker Profit System.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How long's that been a show?
8 years.
All right. Why'd you start it? Do you make cabinets?
No.
Did you have a business that made cabinets?
No, I didn't. No. But I'll tell you, when I first became a business coach, my first two clients, and it's so long ago, I don't remember which one was first. One of them made coffins and one of them made pool tables. And both of those are the finished wood trades. And so for 23, 24 years now, I've always been working in cabinetry. So the way the podcast started is I spoke at an annual general meeting. They had me come into a local trade association.
Yeah.
And just casually, they said, hey, can we record it? Some members can't make it. Now, this is 8 years ago. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Sure. Yeah. How can I help?
Yeah.
And so they gave me the recording and I'm like, I could do this. And there's this thing called podcasting. So I started podcasting from there.
I love it. So this is interesting. And I want to point this out because you're a guy, and this is going to tie into what we're talking about. So we're talking about strategy here a little bit, but what I love is you've had a couple nice runs with, you know, the podcast and businesses and this and that and things that you had no experience in.
Zero.
Okay. And that's, I remember there was a time where I was like, oh, if you could, If you didn't do the thing, you can't run a business doing the thing. You know what I mean? A lot of people think that.
Yeah.
And they think it's about the craft knowledge and the skill sets of the trade and all those things, which are incredibly important. I get that. I'm not ripping on any of that. But I think it speaks to the fact that, you know, we see a lot of guys, you probably saw it in the franchise world, like people that just were a business person first.
100%.
And it didn't matter what the thing was. They could plug and play whatever it was because that's you, right?
That's me. Yeah. You know what I have to add to that though, is that maybe where it started for me was back in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up buying a franchise. And some people are going to hate me for this. I was a student painter. I had a student painting franchise.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know it was a franchise until halfway through the training, they handed out forms we had to sign.
It
was a franchise sign up form and here's the commissions. But it did something important for me. I realized, and they position it like this, you're running a business. This is the business. This is the business model. This is how it works. This is how we estimate. So we make a profit. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, we paint houses. I'm like, all right, sounds good. Let's do it. I wanted to be better because my first company was a Christmas light installation company. And I think the first year I made $26, maybe 23. And I probably did the math wrong. I probably made nothing.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love
it. So I needed the paperwork, man. I just wanted the systems. Like I've always craved systems.
So systems is one of those words that gets thrown around a lot. And I think now I'm wired where I don't wake up and think in terms of systems, which is funny, even though we all have a system for running our life,
yeah.
you know, so we're all, yeah. we all have a system for running our life or our business, but you know, on a DISC profile, like on the C, I'm like a 7 on a good day. Okay. yeah, so yeah, I'm yeah. like super low when it comes to that. I'm very visionary and people person and direct and blah, blah, blah. So where do you see people complicating systems, especially in the contracting world? Do you know what I mean? When it comes to running their business?
It. Yeah. Yeah. I could take it. So 100% overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have to say not taking action on just one little thing. So overthinking it. And then do you use the term analysis paralysis?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of that? Like you've got so much information in front of you that you just shut down. It's happened
to
me.
You do nothing. Yeah.
You just do nothing. And you get through a day and you're like, I didn't do anything today. And then you do the next day and you're like, you know what? I'm really good at, for me, I've been a framer. I did light home renos. I did painting, a couple different painting cuts. So get back with the tools. You know what? I'll just go and do that soffit. The guys aren't going to do the soffit. It's going to take a bunch of time. I'll just go do the soffit because I'm good at it. Well, mm-hmm. now I'm just escaping the business side. And yeah. so I had to learn to simplify things to like a ridiculous level because I'm not, yeah. I was in college for 7 years and I'm still not a doctor. I was on academic probation the whole time. And you know what academic probation means? Hey kid, you get a letter. It says, hey kid, we got to make room for a smarter one. Like
yeah, there
you got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll come back to systems in a minute. This time of year, everybody's like thinking ahead to the next year, right? 2024. Right. When I say the phrase strategic planning, what does that mean to you?
Everything as an entrepreneur. You could not take that away from me. I would not allow you to take that away from me. Maybe if you're a communist, you could try, but we'd have a different yeah. conversation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you push me out of an airplane and said, go start a business, you don't know where you're going to land. The first thing I would do is a strategic plan.
Okay. And how do you keep that simple?
Follow a system. I'm not the guy who's going to make the system, but find a system you believe in and follow yeah. it. And I'm not sure if you're a fan of Traction, the book Traction, Get a Grip by Gino Wickman.
Very familiar with it. Yep.
Yeah. yeah. Love that book. Mm-hmm. There's actually two out there that compete with each other. There's yeah. Traction, which is good for our trade, good for the trades in general.
Yeah.
And then there's another one. If you get really big, you can go towards the Rockefeller Habits by Vern Harnish. Vern That's Harnish, actually where yeah. I started.
That right? was
that $120 million business. We yeah. built that on
yeah.
Rockefeller. But everything else I've done, everything else has been on Wickman's Traction system. Yeah. And I love it.
The average contractor doesn't have a big leadership team, doesn't have, you know, people that are familiar with this stuff. So what do you tell the person doing $1 million a year, you know, who's might have an office manager and does all the sales themselves? He's got a PM or a couple of crew leaders in the field and you go, okay, dude, you need to do strategic planning for 2024.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Well, first, I'm going to walk them through it because they haven't done it. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not overstating it. I do it every day where I'm working with somebody on their strat plan. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the value to the business owner is probably the frustration they felt for years is how do I get everything out of my head and onto paper?
Yeah.
And so usually what I'll say is it's going to be like we take a USB key, you know, those thumb drives.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
We're going to stuff it in your ear. I'm going to download everything from your head onto that USB key. That's a one-page plan.
Yeah.
And that's going to become our boss. Now, none of us want bosses. That's why we do what we do. But when we have the whole company laid out on one piece of paper, as we go forward in coaching, we're going to be able to shoulder check. I'm going to use the name Tom. Tom yep. is the client. What did Tom want us to do back on November 8th? Oh, Tom said we got to focus on this kind of client. Tom said we had to do job costing. Tom said we had to do tracking. Tom said we needed a sales process or script. Let's go put that in place. So whenever we feel like we're going off the rails, we just shoulder check, just an easy shoulder check. Go yeah. check that one piece of paper.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I think I see a lot of people create a plan or a map. I like the word map, right?
Yeah.
And then they drop the ball on the execution because they're just not consistent with stuff, right? I think yeah. it's more of an execution issue than it is a planning issue.
Yeah.
And so, for example, I did a 2-hour training for our group this morning in Battleground, and I put a picture of, I went to Google and I put directions to Boise, Idaho, and I'm in Colorado Springs. And I took a screenshot of the Google map and I put it up on the screen for everybody. And we're kind of laughing about it. I said, guys, what's the first thing that you need to know? If I want to get to Boise, what's the number one thing you need to know? Where are you now?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's just, and then once I can tell it where I am, Colorado Springs, it was funny on the side of Google, it gave specific directions how to get there.
from your house or your office.
From my house. And so that to me, it's no different with planning for your business is identify where do you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a lot of time on this, like getting mega clear on what you really want. I don't think most people go deep enough and they say things they want based on what they think others are going to think.
Or they saw a movie.
Or there's peer pressure in their coaching group of all these other guys and what they have. And you feel like you have, that was me. I was in a group where I felt my goals had to be like everyone else's goals because I wasn't confident in my own self at the time, whatever. But what's funny, this is why people will say, I need somebody to hold me accountable, right? That is the phrase that just burns me because I'm like, dude, you identified the target.
Mm-hmm.
You laid out the plan to get there. So you created the plan. Why would you need to be held accountable to something that you fucking created yourself? You know what I mean?
And yet it happens.
And yet it happens.
And can I tell you my answer to that question?
I'd love it.
It's the accountability that might be different because you and I have a different internal driver.
Mm-hmm.
When I put a plan in place, and this is where I'm not joking, that plan will come to life. I will make that happen. Am I going to hit obstacles? 100%. Give me an obstacle. I'm going to go over it, around it, through it, or I'm going to redefine it, or I'm going to ignore it on purpose, but I'm winning. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I will win. That's my plan. It's going to happen. See how my voice changed? That's the internal mm-hmm. Dom. You hear me joking a lot?
Yeah.
I'm dead serious and I'm hard on myself.
Your body language, your tonality, everything changed and you could tell it was important to you. For
it's
those that are
darn
not
important.
Seeing the
yeah,
video
man.
Of this, that's yeah. it was like
this is going to happen. And guess what? I'm going to hit bottlenecks. And guess what my answer is? Bring it on. Good. You want to bottleneck me? Go ahead. Let's do it.
So, we were talking about this before we hit record. You said you have two questions.
Yeah. Strategic planning questions. Yeah. So there's not everybody's ready for a strategic plan. It sounds daunting. If you don't have a guy like me or you to walk, like you or I to walk through it, I don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. So you can't do this if you're driving, folks.
Yeah.
And if you're walking your dog, don't write it on your dog.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you two questions that are the easiest way to start figuring out your own strategic plan. And you're going to hear what I do in this exercise and it's going to blow you away, but they're your answers, not mine, not Tom's. Mm-hmm. Right? The guys like Tom and I come along to help you stay on path to get them done. Can I give you the questions now?
Let's go.
So I'll say the question out loud. It's going to be followed by dot, dot, dot. That means I want you to write three things, folks. Here's the one kicker, just one little kicker. Don't think. Just write what comes out of your gut. Just write. Okay. So here's the question. First question coming up right now. In 2024, I achieved all of my goals because I dot, dot, dot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to repeat it one more time. The dot, dot, dot means I want you to write three things. In 2024, I achieved all of my goals because I dot, dot, dot. Love so go ahead and write those down. Everybody's got their own answers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part one. Was that hard, Tom?
No.
Nice and simple, right?
Nice and simple.
So let's assume everybody's got that part done. Now we're going to do part two. Now listen for the little shift. Same rules, same everything, same exercise,
all
right.
All right.
In 2024, I failed to achieve all of my goals because I failed to dot, dot, dot.
Wouldn't it just be, I failed to do the other three things. Hey, see what I did there?
I put it all together. And you say you have no systems. But that's, it doesn't have to get more complicated than that. Maybe that's step one of your system is, or step one of your 2024, understanding mm-hmm. your starting point, which is question number one.
Mm-hmm. All right. So take it deeper. You're working with somebody, and you know, they're a kitchen remodeling company. You ask them that question. What are some of the things, what are some of the dot, dot, dots, three things you've heard come back your way?
Failed to get control of my, or so in 2024, I achieved all of my goals because I got control of my numbers.
Yep.
Figured out my perfect customer.
Mm-hmm.
And number three is probably something to do with team.
Yeah.
Right. Had people I could trust so I could leave it, you know, cause I could walk out and do an estimate. It's different for everybody.
Yeah.
In some cases, family becomes important, right? In 2024, I achieved all my goals because I was able to take care of my parents to free up the time. You know, as we get older, aging parents mm-hmm. becomes a thing. So I don't want to put answers in anybody's head.
Yeah.
You have your own, it's important you have your own answer. Don't take what Tom and I said. That's cheating. And you're cheating yourself and you're cheating the legacy of your own last name. Write down what you really feel.
Fighters, if you're tired of not making the money that you deserve, you might have a pricing problem. And that's why I want to make sure you are aware of this pricing guide that we have for you. It's available at thecontractorfight.com/50/50. Get yourself as fast as you can to a 50% gross profit. And I promise you, there'll be a lot more money left in your bank account at the end of each month. And Mama Bear at home, she's going to be real proud of you, man, because you're finally going to be stepping up and playing to your potential because you got the math right. Grab it now. I'm out. So just to break this down the way I'm thinking of it, these three things, we probably do similar things, different terminology, right?
Sure.
So it's whatever. Yeah. You know, one of these things might be get control of my numbers. To me, that's a, I want to talk a little bit about maybe what you think here, how you define a strategy versus a tactic. So when I've worked with people on like a marketing strategy, we'll just go to that lane.
Yeah.
Or a marketing plan, I usually try to encourage them to come up with three main strategies. So for instance, you know, obviously you set a goal. I want to grow the company by $500,000 in this sector of the business in 2024, right?
Sure.
On top of what we're already doing. And then to me, the strategy has always been more of the overarching, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And the tactics are, how are we going to do it? What are the things? So here's an example. Here, Contractor Fight. We'll just use that. Contractor Fight, the, our number one marketing strategy. I try to ask these as what if questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I picked this up. I probably read three things, confused it all, and made my own thing. So,
okay.
Contractor Fight, I go, what if we were the best educators in the industry? That's how I ask myself.
Mm.
And so from there, I go, that feels right. Okay. And it's just, it always has since day one in our company. How am I going to educate? Are my tactics? So I started the podcast. I have a YouTube channel. We're on social media. We do workshops. We'll do Q&A lives on YouTube or whatever it might be to educate. So I always try to think. So when I've worked with clients, I'll give guys my three. If I could pick three strategies for somebody to market their business, it would be, what if we were the best educators in our industry? What if we provided the best experience that anyone's ever had with a company?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is, what if I built my influencer list to 100 influencers? To me, an influencer is, I'm a painter, you're a plumber, you cut holes in walls, you need to know who I am. If I had 100 of you out there,
right?
You know, I'd be killing it. And then I fill in the tactics. So to me, when you shared, you got the dot, dot, dot three things, my mind immediately went to those three things are strategic.
Mm.
Or are they tactical? I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to sway you because it works for you.
Yeah. So what I usually get from people are tactics without strategy. And you know the Sun Tzu quote, right? Tactics without strategy is the noise before defeat. Going and just doing busy work is the noise before defeat. One of the things that we talk about and is keeping things simple. That's what you asked me. Like, how do you have simple systems? Sorry, that's me translating what you asked me.
Right.
I've got to be really harsh with myself and cut out all the fluff, really boil things down to a question of essence. So if we're talking about a goal, let's say that your goal is to own a neighborhood. That's not a strategy. The strategy might be a strategy of direct mail, a strategy of social media, and another strategy of, let's say, referrals. Those are strategies. But the tactic for direct mail might be, there's three different tactics. We're going to use postcard campaigns. Mm-hmm. We're going to use door hangers. And we're going to do some other direct mail thing. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank right now. There's a thousand of them. But that's the tactic. That's the actual do in the field. That's the moving the chess pieces.
Yeah.
But the big idea, the strategy in this business is what we're working inside.
Yeah.
So if our strategy is to own that, if our goal is to own that neighborhood, one of the strategies is direct mail.
Mm-hmm.
If our goal is to make more money, if our goal is to have more time, one of the strategies I'll use for making more time as a contractor is to better time management. That's the strategy. Well, what are the time management tactics I can use? Use a calendar, use only one calendar, write things down, you know, stick to my calendar. Simple things, but people miss them.
Yeah, I don't want people to listening to think, don't get caught up in the terminology, right?
Nah, basically,
excuse me, I just recorded a video earlier today, a little short on this topic of strategic planning made simple in Tom's mind. I'm like, figure out what you want, map out a few things that are going to move you closer to it, and then do the shit every day you have control over to support those things.
Yeah.
Like to me, I know it's deeper than that, right? Different terminology, whatever, but that's really, if I want to lose weight, right?
Yeah.
I want to lose 20 pounds. I need to have an eating plan and a workout plan. Those are the things that I say I'm going to do. Now you go do it. It's the same thing in your business. And
yeah,
I think the challenge is, maybe you could speak to this, is the typical business owner has 40,000 things being thrown at them every day. You know, how do you not get overwhelmed with the whole strategic planning? How do you stay on task? How do you command your time?
See, and that's where I think the accountability that people are mm-hmm. asking of you and I comes in, because they know they're going to get pulled into a million little things that don't matter, but have to be done. Mm. The not important,
yeah,
but urgent. And so the accountability, you know, the accountability when you're working with me or one of my coaches is, we're going to show up at every, well, let's say Tuesday at 2 o'clock, you know, you got to talk to us Tuesday at 2.
Yep.
And we're going to say, hey, how's it going with that thing you said you wanted mm-hmm. to do, because your life would be different if you did it.
Yeah.
And oh, it's not going well. Let's do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it right now. Let's take a step forward. Oh, you got stuck? Here's another way to do it. But we're going to get the, remember earlier I said, we're going to go over it, around it, through it, underneath it, or we're going to redefine it and make it work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So there,
yeah.
The key here is, again, I have to give compliments. If somebody's listening to your show, they're in the pack of leaders.
Oh, I think anyone listening to your show, my show, anything like this at all is like in the top 0.5% of the world or whatever.
Yeah, tiny percentage. Thing,
you know, at least knowledge wise. And the accountability thing, like I think it here's why I think it rubs me wrong. I'm just owning my shit on my own show here. If I feel like I have to hold you accountable, to me, it's like babysitting. Mm. You know, I'm not a good babysitter, you know, not at all. And meaning, if I have to show up to a call, I used to do tons of one-on-one coaching.
Yeah.
If I have to show up to the call remembering what you were supposed to do, that's immediately an issue for me. Where I get coached, and when I get on with my coach, we get on the Zoom, and I'm like, all right, man, so here's what I've been doing.
Oh, you bring
this
the agenda.
And that. I bring it based on what I said I was mm-hmm. going to do the last time. So it's just I totally get where you're coming from, where, because I've had coaches in the past. My first coach, I knew we were talking on Wednesday at 11 a.m. My old business partner and I would be jumping through hoops that morning to get our shit done.
Oh, it's the worst.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah.
I think I see, boy, we're going to get
deep,
possibly deep and really ruffle feathers here. I think it's a bigger societal issue for me. I think people expect other people to do the work. They expect to push an easy button. I mean, dude, I could grab this phone and ask it any question and get an answer. You know what I mean? And I just think it's you see people that they listen to a podcast, they join a coaching program, they go to an event and they think shit's just going to get better just because of that. And so I think for me, it's a bigger societal thing. And I think social media, as much as I love it for our businesses and building the brand, I think it shows entrepreneurs and business owners unrealistic timelines for things, because who do we highlight? We highlight the guy that never did anything in businesses in whole life. And he wakes up one day, says, I'm going to start this business. And 7 months later, he sells it for $1 billion. And everybody feels like shit because they've been doing this for 12 years.
You know what? You're 100%. So, even my opening stories. Oh, I did this mm-hmm. and I did that. Well, that doesn't tell you the times I was soaking wet in the rain, installing Christmas lights on cedar shake mm-hmm. roofs with my dad's aluminum ladder with a staple gun. I'm going to die.
Right.
I'm not an electrician. I'm stapling electrical lights in. How many times have you done? I washed my hands with gasoline because I knew that thinner was more expensive. And how many times has other people been in that situation? They're like,
oh my God,
I don't have anybody to do the rafters.
Same stories. I remember being on a shake roof in November. I don't know, it was the spring. I just gotten out of the Marine Corps working for my uncle. I was on a shake roof and I had to I had to do a pressure wash of this shake roof.
Oh,
and it was like 14, 15 feet in the air, but it was like real wavy. They called it the mushroom house. If you guys live in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. And it was like this mushroom roof. It was just really weird.
Curvy.
And I kept sliding off and falling into the bushes because my shoes went so. My uncle pulls up 2 hours later. I'm up on the roof and bare feet. It's 40 degrees out, pressure washing this roof. And I got splinters and blood in my feet, right?
Yeah.
Or the time, like you could talk about all these, the time that I rolled up for 3-4 nights in a row and slept, rolled up in a drop cloth on a job site, waiting for my patches to dry.
I did the same thing.
Yes.
So, I did the same thing.
So
the police came.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean with, I think, so it's all these things that feed to my accountability issues. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's, and I also believe, God, I didn't plan
sleeping in your drop cloths. I thought I was the only one. The police. God, no. I was in a hockey rink parking lot, and they came and knocked on my van. My van was horrible. 77 Dodge tradesman painted by myself with my roller.
Oh, I love it.
But you know what? You're right though. Social media looks like it's easy overnight successes. And here's my approach to coaching is this: it's not going to be exciting all the time. Yeah, we're going to show up to the coaching meeting, but we're going to hit singles every time. Don't expect to hit home runs. That's not realistic. The same thing is when you go to the gym. I love going to the gym. I live for going to the gym. Not every day is glamorous. Some days you're just doing the work and you're like, this sucks. It's dark outside. It's raining. Nobody's here. This isn't the music I like. You know what? Suck it up.
Yeah.
Do the workout.
Yeah. I found for me that if I don't have massive clarity around what I want, then doing the work is going to be an issue.
That's why the strategic plan exists.
Perfect. Exactly. So coming full circle here. So for those people that are like, I just need to be held accountable. Well, maybe you just need, like you said, the right plan, the right objectives, the things that are going to fire you up and get you out of bed in the morning. We just came back. We were in St. Louis last week, our core fight team. We did our strategic planning for the next couple of years. So that's why this topic is fresh for me. And it's funny because it'd been a while since we'd gotten together and done it. And, you know, my CEO, Neil, he even called me out prior to, I think you've been a little stale this year, man. You know, it's funny. We get back from our strategic planning and my boots hit the ground Monday morning with some, you know,
new juice.
Just realignment of everybody's roles and where we're going and this and that. And I've been on fire. So there's power in that plan, right?
Yeah.
There's the plan also makes decisions for you. It's kind of like as a football coach, I don't know if you know this, you probably know this, but like when they go for a 2-point conversion, there's a chart.
Right.
There's a chart that, and you have this meeting on Wednesday of game week of what situations are we going to go for two and not go for two if it's tied and we're on the road.
You have a cheat sheet. Just like you and I talk about, there's a cheat sheet.
They're making the decision, right? Before they're in the emotional element of it.
Right.
The decision. That's what the strategic plan is. When here's my plan, and then the next flavor of the month marketing guy knocks on your door, you can go, this doesn't fit our plan this year.
Yeah.
Or this quarter or whatever it is. So thanks, but we're staying the course. Right. And it keeps you from squirreling out on everything.
That's called running a business. That's what big boys do. And I know I said that, and some people are going to be offended, but if you want to run your business on purpose, you absolutely need a strategic plan. Do you know the reason I became a business coach? I don't think I've ever shared this before.
I don't know.
I sucked at business. I could fail like nobody's business. I could outwork anybody, but I wasn't getting ahead. And I was just going through the motions. I'm a business owner. I have business cards. I do this. I got a logo for my truck, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Couldn't make a dime to save my life. I had lots of referrals. People loved me. Broke.
Mm-hmm.
Broke. My girlfriend had to come pick me up from a job site because that 77 Dodge tradesman broke down. She paid for dinner and it was our anniversary. Just so you know, we are no longer dating. Like epitome of loser, right? And so I thought, I got to change things. My uncle, I used to be a framer for my uncle. And so he was a business guy, an Italian guy, stringing Italian words into English words. We're not talking about college graduate. You got to go talk to my accountant. Because I was complaining to him, I couldn't get the business right. His accountant said, go read the E-Myth. Go read Robert Kiyosaki. Go listen to Jim Rohn. Go read Brian Tracy. Little would I know one day I'd be Brian Tracy's partner.
Yeah.
But it's the humble beginnings and really just putting my own ego aside and go, man, I don't know what I'm doing. So all of that led me to becoming a business coach.
I love it. I love it. All right. Before we wind down here, you get to wake up tomorrow morning. You wave a magic wand tonight before you go to bed. You wake up tomorrow morning. One thing in the construction industry is different, better, changed, fixed. What is it?
Kids are coming out of school proud to take on a trade like they used to be.
All right. So, totally put you on the hot seat here. So that could be an objective.
Sure.
Right? So what's the strategy? How do you approach that?
The strategy is the harder part. Because we've got parents out there that think all of their kids should be pharmacists and doctors and engineers or nurses. And that's the only way to success. And it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, you pull up to a Porsche at an intersection and you look over and you think that guy must be a doctor or she's in a Land Rover. She must be an attorney.
Mortgage broker.
Yeah. Something like that. And they're not. They are in debt up to the hilt.
Yeah.
But that truck you're in, that Dodge lifted, big, you know, whatever mm-hmm. your dream vehicle is, costs just as much as that Porsche.
Yeah.
And you can pay it off by knowing your numbers and having a plan. Not only that, but you can buy real estate, you can put your kids in college, you can do whatever mm-hmm. you want, anything you want, because you're in control. They have one customer, which is the law firm they work for, or the medical system they work for. You have hundreds. And so mm-hmm. if one client doesn't like you, no big risk. You've got 99 other ones. We have the power as a business owner that nobody else has
yeah.
because we can have multiple clients. So I need to go back and change the attitude of the people, the kids who don't that like to work with their hands, but get told you need to be an engineer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, I think I've shared this with you before. Like our mission in the fight is super short and punchy. It's strong you, strong home, fat wallet.
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that supports our vision of creating a world where construction is no longer viewed as a fallback option. That's our vision.
Mm.
And so I believe it's funny, like we're aligned on so many things. I think if you're stronger, if your home life and relationships are stronger and your financial situation is stronger, you're more attractive and people want to be in on it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't fix the whole thing, but you know, I think it starts because what do kids see now? They see an uncle or a brother or a dad or sister, whoever's that's in the trade, that's broke, tired and dirty. Like I saw my whole life with my dad. I'm like, why the hell would I want to do that?
Yeah.
You know? So I just think it's our role is kind of, I think, no, that's why you do what you do. And I do what I do is teach these guys about money, teach them how to communicate better, teach them how to build their brand, teach them how to have confidence in this and that so that they could be more attractive. You want to recruit better people, be better yourself,
cool.
Have a stronger business. Right. This just fixes everything, dude. So I was just curious how you would answer that question with
yeah.
you wake up tomorrow morning and I'm not surprised at your answer.
You know, there's a Chinese saying, ancient, I'm going to call it ancient because I don't know how old it is. Right. If you want to plan for a year, you plant wheat. If you want to plan for 10 years, you plant trees. But if you want to plan for generations, you educate your people.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to change the legacy of people's names. That's what I do as a business coach. I change the trajectory of their last name. Because I'm teaching them things that one day I'm going to be gone. Once I'm dead, I'm just trying to make a big impact now, man.
Yeah.
But somebody's going to take something they learned from me or from you, and they're going to teach it to their grandchild. Mm-hmm. And that kid one day is going to be sitting in a high school cafeteria with their friend and say, oh, I just started this app and I don't know what to do. And your grandkid's going to go, you know, my grandfather, Tom, always said, keep it simple. And
yeah.
you know, they're going to quote you on something wise mm-hmm. that you said. That's where you live. You don't live in a tombstone. You live when your grandkid passes on something you taught. That's what you and I do. We're trying to pay that forward.
I love it, man. I love it. We have plenty of opportunity to make impact. That's one of the things I love about the trades, man. There, you got new guys coming in, starting a gig every day. You know, even in bad times, the number of businesses that are started are great because guys get laid off and they go, I got to do this on my own now. So they yeah. try to figure it out. And so, you know, and that's why we always ask you guys, whether it's Dom's show or my show, share the show, right? It's a review, help more people see it. You know, we all want to build our own unique businesses. We get that. Every one of us does. But, you know, if we're all after the same thing, there's plenty for everybody, you guys, you know, and not everyone's a fit for me or him or whatever it is. So it's, you know, the important thing is people get the help that they need and they fix their shit. So, I mean, it's...
And listen, you might not be needing to listen to a show about construction business improvement. Maybe right. you got to go work on yourself. Maybe you got to get to the gym, drink more water, mm-hmm. stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but go fix that.
Dude, just I'm all for thing. That. I'm not giving up my meth. It ain't happening. All right. So I'm just telling you.
I don't have a lot of addictions, Tom, but I'm committed to the ones I've got.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, dude, where do people find you? They want to learn more.
Well, you know, if you can't find me, you ain't looking, or you might be misspelling my name.
Yeah.
But, you know, LinkedIn, Dominic Rubino. I've got the two podcasts. Profit Tool Belt is the easiest one to spell. So do that. Take that shortcut. But if you're in the cabinetry trade or architectural millwork or any finished wood trades, you know, listen to the Cabinet Maker Profit System podcast. That's a long name. Just type Dominic Rubino. Where do I find him? And you find me. There is a kid who's a wrestler. Young strapping kid. Yeah. College wrestler. That's not me.
Not you. Okay.
Never was me.
No confusion there.
No, don't reach
out. Just type in Dominic Rubino podcast. You're probably going to find him.
Probably.
So, there you go. Well, dude, I appreciate you making this happen. And, you know, great job. It was good connecting, talking with you. Guys, give him a follow on socials and listen to the show. Give us a rating and a review. And we will talk to you all next time on The Fight. I'm out.